Thought I lost my apples for a moment.
Your marbles or your apples?
I like them apples.
It's been a good long while since I've seen Good Will Hunting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what that quote's from.
Well, I think it came a long time before.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd never heard it before that, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
They didn't just make that up.
Movie.
To me, they did, because...
I understand. The boys from Boston, what do they call them? The Easties? No. Southeast. Southeast from South Boston. Southeast.
So. You like them apples.
Yeah, them apples. Them apples.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to put that in there. Yeah.
Nice.
But yes, it's always it's good to see you, Justin.
Speaking of apples.
How about them apples?
Good to see you, Mark.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. What are we talking about?
Well, you know,
I know what we're talking about.
Do you? Good. Shoot. I thought for a moment. I was, you know, most of these topics, I'd say, probably come out of a aha moment of some type, you know, realistic.
I think I know, yeah.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we live our lives, and I think at times, you know, we can fall into a complacency when we're just doing the daily grind day after day. And that kind of thing. And it was just, it was interesting for me because I heard a sermon this weekend, and it was just, it was a moment of conviction for me. And it got me to thinking about spirituality, because I think our culture, you know, and myself, you know, we tend to see it a lot around us, this aspect of coexist, you know, the yin and the yang, you know, that there's this spiritual dynamic of good and evil that's always in balance, you know, this aspect of what we might call dualism, you know what I mean, where there's two equal parts and they're just vying against one another, but
yet eternal struggle of good and evil. And
but
it's in every movie, basically.
Yes. And I think
Disney movie anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to admit, I think in some ways, even and it made me think about some of the discussions we've had, even in the concept of the stick. You know, that there's this aspect of dualism where one is opposed to the other, but yet they complete each other in some kind of harmonious way. You follow me? And that's not a judgment on that model.
Wait, you were supposed to say no offense. Offense taken, Mark.
But it
I'm gonna get my stick out.
You got offended, and I didn't even have to say no offense. See, that's why I say it.
I was waiting for it.
I'm learning. I'm working on it. But I think, you know, I was just reminded of how our desire for balance and, you know, just this dualistic mindset that, you know, everything has an equal and opposite. I was made aware that I have been maybe misled. And I don't want, when I'm thinking about misled, I'm thinking about the fact that I talk with others, and I take that very seriously when I think about the fact that I don't want, if I've been deceived, I don't want to pass that deception on to other people. You follow me? That's where my conviction, that's where the weight, if you will, of even what we do here, you know, is kind of convicting.
Yeah.
And so it got me thinking about that from that aspect. And it was interesting to recognize for me in the process of this sermon, it was interesting to recognize that from my new perspective, there really isn't this dualism in place, because
was it three instead? Maybe four? Fourism?
No, I don't think they're balanced.
Yeah, I know.
And it was interesting because as I was thinking, reading about it, you know,
it was a bad dad joke.
Sorry. I guess in the process of my desire to share my perspective, I'm a little more focused, so I apologize.
You're swimming a little deeper than I was. That's my fault. I'm sorry. I'm coming. Let me get some
Don't you even worry about it. It is good. But it made me think about it, and it was a refreshing thing to think about, actually. When I was in the process of the sermon, I was listening, and they were talking about how Jesus had gone to the through the tombs where Legion I think it's Matthew.
Well, it's probably in multiple.
Well, Matthew has two men.
Okay.
Where there's two men, and you know, but either way, it's just interesting. It's both right before the Jesus casts these spirits out of these gentlemen into the pigs.
Yeah.
You familiar with that one?
Yeah, I didn't think it was gentlemen. I thought it was one guy.
Well, Legion is one, but and this is what the sermon was about. It's basically there's two separate stories in Scripture. Okay. Yeah. And
but
one
the pigs that only came out of Legion, right?
Like, no, there is another aspect where there were two guys. Oh. And I want to say it was Matthew. I apologize. I should have prepared a little, as usual. I should have prepared. But what they basically come up and say, you know, to Jesus, they're basically saying, hey, we know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's going to come a day when your authority is going to completely do away with evil.
Mm-hmm.
That was really kind of what struck me because that does away with that dualistic perspective from my dynamic. And I think it's been freeing for me to be able to recognize that we're not just kind of, you know, this balance that you eke out a little bit of.
Yeah. It's not like this battle where, oh, we took that town and it's like, oh, they took it back. And
yes.
Like this kind of, never ending battle of good and evil, and some days evil's winning, some days good is winning, and
that
whole thing. The fronts are moving every day, and you're always checking in, like, are we winning today? Are we losing today? That kind of idea, right?
Yes, very much so. Mm-hmm. That kind of idea, and it was, and I think that's what I desire, you know, to offer people that I talk with, and I do, I think what I. Part of my job, I wrestle with individuals from a spiritualistic perspective based on where they're coming from. Not everybody talks with me as a Christian, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and there's definitely different, you know, spiritualistic tendencies people have, and you know they've grown up in a specific religion, or maybe they've grown up religious but then they've kind of jettisoned that to, you know, have this humanistic dynamic, you know, those kind of things. And that's where it was kind of coming back to for me, because I think I have kind of developed this model of balance, you know, which in some ways I like, and I think in some ways it's you know, our continuums, you know, represent a sort of balance between two extremes. And
even the idea of polarizing.
Yes.
We're always trying to get that pendulum to where it's, you know, I'm showing you my hand, pendulum, a board on a pendulum. I'm trying to get it in balance.
Seesaw.
So that it's no longer swinging. It's kind of balanced. Yeah. We're always trying to get to that equilibrium.
Yes. And so that was where, that's when I heard this sermon, it was just kind of like this breath of fresh air for me in this aspect to, because it wasn't like I hadn't known. I mean, granted, I learned a lot, because part of what the sermon was about was when Jesus is crossing over the Sea of Galilee, the two areas that are two references. One would be like the version that basically said Jesus went to Southport, Okay. And there was this one guy named Legion. The other version basically says that Jesus went to Brunswick County and there were two guys. You follow me? And but either way, he cast the demons out of these fellas into this herd of pigs. And so that was kind of, it was neat to hear. It's like, okay, it's not that scripture is ever in controversy. It's just being able to understand the facets from which each, you know, writer wrote their story. And to me, and then, but what came out of that was that dynamic of being able to say, okay, yeah, in this spiritual realm, we do recognize what we are at war, if I may say so, kind of that Ephesians 6, you know, type dynamic that we do wrestle. And I think sometimes in our wrestling, you know, it can seem daunting, you know, because it does seem as if there's this war front, it's where
cosmic battle.
Yes, where, you know, and like all good movies, you know, it's like, well, you know, somebody's got to do something that completely shifts the dynamic, or else, you know, humanity is going to die, you know, that kind of thing. But that's where it was coming from, is it's like, okay, all of that was satisfied. You know, someone did do something and that kept everybody from dying. And yet there, and being able to recognize that in those moments, even the spiritual realm, as I was looking at it from that dynamic, recognizes the authority of who Jesus Christ is. And there was no doubt, because when, you know, in that spiritual realm, when anyone addressed Jesus, it was like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And so often it reminds me that, you know, and I realize that's out of the Bible and that kind of thing, but so often I'm mindful of the fact that, you know, if we live in this spiritual culture, and yet I'm willing to recognize that when we think of evil acknowledges who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt there. And it's not that it's a balanced equation.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, deceiving and destroying as much as possible until that day comes when it's going to end.
So it's a lot of good stuff. That's good.
That's the nutshell of, that was a nutshell of Father's Day for me this weekend.
Nice. So a couple things I was thinking about when you were sharing that. First of all, the balance thing, right? So I was thinking about balance.
Yeah.
Balance only works when there's a certain law at play of physics. That law is gravity.
I hear you.
Right?
Sure.
So you think about balance, you think about a scale where you balance things out.
A balance
out.
Beam.
You think about seesaw, like you said, the action of seesawing. You think about when you're trying to keep your balance, right?
Sure.
And you're kind of balancing on a whatever.
Right and left.
Yeah, or like on, what do you call that, a balance beam or the wire. What do you have?
Oh, a tightrope.
Thank you.
Tight no rope. Problem. Ding, 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 ding.
You win. Any of those aspects, and none of those will work if you just go up about 5 miles, right?
Sure.
From our atmosphere. I don't know how, I just made up a number.
Oh, okay. However, I'm with you.
Till you get out of the gravitational pull.
Okay.
And there's no longer gravity. None of those concepts work. Balance isn't a thing.
Right? I knew where you're coming from.
And the reason I say that is because this yin-yang, this balance of good and evil, in my heart, is definitely a thing. Right? And when the laws of this creation that he's put me in are at work, I do have to contend. And I you wouldn't argue that, right? Like you we don't have to battle against the evil or against our flesh. I know that's not your point at all. You're making an awesome point, which I'm trying to get to as well.
That's okay.
Which is when you zoom out
okay
to a universal level, balance is a silly thing.
Oh, I hear where you're coming from.
There's no such thing as being. I mean, there is. And I would even argue that he's built balance into the solar system. He's built balance into the universe. But, you know, so obviously the analogy isn't perfect. But
I hear you.
I'm just thinking about how that concept of a scale just doesn't apply once you just go, you zoom out just a little bit.
Sure.
And then you still got all kinds of zooming to do to still even get to the edge of the universe where that concept is kind of silly, right?
Sure.
And I think of that as an analogy for what you're saying, and you know, even the demons and how they recognize there's no balance here.
Yes,
right. And agreed. When I zoom out, because we came from zoomed out, we know the big picture, we know what the universe sure. looks like, and we know that these laws only apply in this one tiny little context, and this guy in front of us lives outside of that context. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think that's, you know, that's when the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's what it's talking about. It's like, no, you don't understand the spirit of the God who created this universe that abides above and beyond all of those rules
sure.
of good and evil. He lives in you. So you're good.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's, I think as you were talking that balance tends to be our human way of making such a cosmic force or design, I'll call it, understandable.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's where that complacency comes into play, because at times I just want to make things understandable.
Yes.
So I use my human construct to basically say, okay, this is how it is.
Yep.
And I think in the aspect that can be part of a deception over time, because I think in some ways, from my perspective, that can be on my part, even the pride that I've got an understanding of this, you know, this created design. Okay. And this is my teaspoon way of holding a piece of that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
In the midst of the whole universe.
Yeah, you're.
Go ahead.
You're making me think of the message I heard this weekend and the thoughts that came out of that, which was this idea of Christ is our cornerstone.
Okay, sure.
And so all other building materials reference off of that cornerstone. And so if you put it incorrectly, or your cornerstone is just a bad cornerstone.
Oh, sure.
Then your building will be out of whack, right?
Sure.
And I thought. You know, I was in a small group, we talked a little bit about this, and I was talking about how knowledge could be a cornerstone, right? Which is kind of what you're saying. Where,
sure.
So if I build everything based off of knowledge is most important, then I'm always going to have gaps.
Sure.
It's never going to line up because we can't know it all. And even if it was knowable, available to us, our brain and our time cannot contain it.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're always going to have gaps. We're always going to have to fill them in with analogies or concepts that kind of cover a whole gamut of things just to be able to look at it. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
And I think like that happens throughout the course of history and science. We've discovered more and more about science, but everything we discover about science tends to open up these little side room doors that we're like, oh crap, we can't open that one yet because we don't understand it enough.
Yeah.
But at least we got into this next room and we can understand more about everywhere we left because we're now in here.
Sure.
And we recognize, but there's just so many more rooms that we thought this was the last door, right?
Kind of
idea. And so, yeah, it's like this and then you think about the fact that, again, the God of the universe, the one who kind of lives above all of this and has a perfect understanding of it all, tries to communicate with us, the ant, right?
Sure.
About what an ocean is or what, you know, a skyscraper is. Yep. And because we can't possibly conceptualize what a skyscraper is, he uses words like, it's kind of like a big stick. Right. And we go, okay, got it, God. But you said it was a big stick. And he's like, no, it's just that you can't understand that. And I feel like the Bible has, you know, when we think about contradictions, and you know, you think about all the names of God, it's like, well, is he a lion or is he a lamb? Which one is he? Right. Because he references both. And if we're going to be literal and stick to, you know, well, it's this one or it's that one, then we're going to have to argue with this other part of the Bible, and I feel like there's a lot of theological concepts that we also want that balance.
Sure.
Right? Where we want to say, like, God's sovereignty versus free will, for instance, we've talked about in that in the past, and we're like, well, it has to be in balance, or I have to choose one or the other. But I think it's kind of like he's describing a skyscraper and or a, you know, shipping container. It's like they're both things and you can't understand them. So we're going to go a stick and leaf in a pond, you know.
Sure.
And
I hear you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
It's kind of a rabbit trail, but.
Well, no, it's kind of like when Jesus talked to his disciples, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know. That I, and I think that's, you know, each one of those pictures makes a greater understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is like in this aspect of a concept that's too big to explain from just one human dynamic.
Yeah, and we benefit from those moments where Jesus was a kindly teacher and that he said, it's like.
Yeah.
So we're like, we can understand, oh, it's, this is another facet. You know, but I think the Bible is full of facets, but we don't always get the benefit of the is like part to be able to say, well, I can't, in other words, I can't throw out this part of the Bible because this part of the Bible says this. I have to somehow reconcile that they both can coexist in that universe that's beyond me that I can't understand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it came from. You know, and I appreciate your ability to bring the cornerstone, because I think knowledge is a good thing.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, I'm willing to recognize that, you know, the knowledge that I have has gaps in it. And I think that's where this weekend came from for me, is being willing to recognize that I saw some gaps.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing.
No.
It's the ability to be able to say, okay, I need to have this awareness that there is this continual battle and there is this spiritual realm, you know, that we enter into. And I think that's the dynamic that we can wrestle with, is we have this physical realm, and I don't think there are few people who would definitely deny that, you know, we are spiritual beings, because I think, you know, most everyone has this concept of good and evil, you know, even in religions, if you will. And that was kind of what brought that in a more powerful way to me, when I was able to hear that, maybe not necessarily for the first time, but for me, it was kind of an eye opening. It's like, yeah, it was a good reminder to be able to say, okay, yeah, there is this authority that's over it all. And whether we acknowledge who Jesus was, even that spiritual realm is willing to say, hey, oh, Son of God, what are you doing here? You know, is today the day that ends it all?
Yeah.
You know, because that's really what the question was.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, no, that day hasn't come yet, but. You know, and I think it just was a neat little opportunity. And then that's when I started that wrestling for me of being able to say, okay, it's not just like you thought it was, as far as this balance. Not that the stick and other things aren't, you know, are evil.
It's I'm offended just... again. Yeah. No, I get it.
But it made me think about it in that way of being able to say, okay. How do we wrestle with this this spiritual nature? And I think the battle is real, but I also think the reality of it is the war is won.
Yeah,
and it's a being a man. And I think, you know, when the CR dynamics came to mind too, because, you know, I think so often in our shame, you know, we can tend to see evil as this huge thing, and there's no way to overcome it. And I think, you know, that's where Jesus as our higher power comes into play and say, no, there's a way. I've already dealt with this. You just need to trust me, you know, in faith from that perspective. And it was just, that was where I was coming from.
It kind of, the thing too is, like, if you start to get a glimpse of that, of like kind of the imbalance, right? The true imbalance. I think that could put it, I think that's likely a meat subject versus a milk subject. So if you're not familiar with what I'm saying,
sure.
You know, essentially the Bible talks about as new believers, the teaching you need is more like milk for a baby, right? Like it needs to be kind of the fundamentals, the ground level things, you know, and then
no, no teeth
you,
yet. You right, can't chew right. it up.
And yeah. as you mature, you know, you need meat. You know, yeah. you need to be able to chew. You need, and I definitely feel like understanding this to the level, you know, like to the level that you're talking about does require some chewing, some teeth, you know.
And sure.
if you don't have that, I think it could be pretty hard to wrestle with. And why I say that is wait, you're telling me he has that much, it's that imbalanced, and yet I still have to, you know, deal with evil. Like,
yeah,
you know, why would he let any of it exist then? Why not just make all of our lives perfect and happy?
Sure.
You know, it's like, and
that was another reminder, I think, in some ways, because as we, you know, have our own family discussions over, you know, topics and so forth, you know, that whole aspect, John, you know, has a friend that he's talking with, you know, that really wrestles with that aspect of, you know, how could a good God let yeah. bad things happen yeah. to good people,
exactly.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that is part of that when we see it from that ground level warfare, you know, that, yeah, but yeah. we lost over here.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. We yeah. won over here, but it just seems like
yeah.
that's inconsistent
yeah.
with my human
yeah.
sense of balance.
Yeah.
If there is this great God, you know, come on now.
Yeah.
We should just live in a...
Especially if you're in, you know, one of the towns that just got captured by the yeah. enemy. And it's yeah. like, yeah, but we're winning. Well, it sure doesn't look like it where I stand.
You sure.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can totally empathize with, you know, someone going through some stuff. And
no just, doubt.
Or in a situation where their family or whoever, you know, is going through some evil, right?
Yeah.
And going, yeah, but... This doesn't jive. You're saying there's a good God who loves me. Well, this is proof that's either not true or he's, you know, it's not true one sense or another. Like he doesn't exist or he does and he doesn't like me. I mean, yeah. that doesn't seem right either, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's, again, can be some of the tough wrestling stuff.
No doubt.
And the Bible has plenty to say about all that. Don't misunderstand me. It talks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like one of the verses says, he's not slow concerning his promise, but he's not willing that any should perish, right? Because they were asking, like, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? You know, we're waiting for this, and he's going to make it all better.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same idea. He's gonna right all the wrongs, fix all the bad. Why isn't he here yet? He's like, well, he's not slow about that promise.
Sure.
But he cares more that Mar would come to him, you know, than that. Those,
he's patient.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that the Bible has plenty to say about the concepts of those things. And even Paul talks about in Romans 9, like you might ask these questions, but it's like asking a potter why he formed the clay the way he did. It's like, well,
sure.
you're clay. You can't understand the purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think understanding good versus evil requires a view that we cannot have, and therefore we have to trust the one that has the view that we cannot have, right?
Sure.
We have to be so zoomed out at a universal level to understand it that we cannot do that, and therefore we have to rely on him.
You know,
there it requires faith. I mean, that he's never going to remove that requirement from this journey,
no doubt. Sure.
And to the degree that that's what Hebrews 11 talks about, it says by faith, you know, these people, you know, we'll see the kingdom of heaven. It has to do with the fact that faith is the requirement.
Sure.
You know? So there's always going to be bits and pieces of our theology and belief that we won't have the full answer. Mm-hmm. We have to rely on, well, you do, and therefore I rely on you. And that's, you know what
I mean? Yeah. And even that faith is a gift that's given for those who want to accept it very much, you know, in that concept of, being able to recognize that, it's not something we have to muster up.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's even provided.
Yeah.
And if to the degree that we have the ability to choose it, when we see that opportunity is a provision. So it's just, And I think here again, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, spiritualism in our world, you know, I think so often what can derail us, maybe in some ways, is this ability to create heaven on earth type dynamic, you know, to where if this is the best that it gets, this isn't very good at the, on certain days.
Yeah.
And that can be that, that can be discouraging because I'm striving, I'm working, you know, and granted, you know, even as I say those things from my perspective, I recognize that's quite often where it comes from is my pride. I want to do it my way, you know, and I don't always necessarily consider, you know, that I could be deceived in some way that's saying, okay, it's about right now. It's about what I can build up right now. It's about the things that I can establish now. And, you know, it doesn't take too awful long to think about it in that context of, okay, there's a lot of people that tried to make it here on earth, and that's not what God talks with us about. You know, it's like seek first the kingdom of heaven and those kind of things. So, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah.
You chewing on something?
I kind of lost my thought, actually.
That's all right. You pulled your your phone out.
Make
you were
sure
gonna look.
Megan wasn't needing me. And
oh, okay. Yeah. I got you.
It wasn't Megan, and I was trying to figure out what it was, and then poof, that thought was gone. So this is why Mark doesn't look at his phone. He's a smart man.
It's all good. Yeah, it's about being present in the moment, and I understand where you're coming from.
That's right.
Because if it was Megan, we'd want to know.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, we're going on vacation tomorrow. So if there's, you know, there's needs that you might need.
Yeah.
We're excited about that. That's why we're recording on a Tuesday, seems so wrong.
Seems
a little off.
Yes, definitely changed my my disciplines for the week, but that's all right. It's good.
That's true. That's hard for you.
I can do it. Look at you, you're here.
You're ready, and you brought your own subject.
Well,
it was good.
So yeah,
thank you for sharing that, Mark.
No problem. Yes. So that being said, this is how we see it.
He was giving me a little space to see if that thought would come back.
Yeah,
it didn't.
Yeah.
So, but that was good stuff. I appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to share.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.